I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Alex Province is away, and we have Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, producers on the show. And you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. And you can see us online. Visit with us online. We are having conversations with thousands of you there, and we thank you for visiting the site, which is loaded with all kinds of recipes, cocktails, wines, and we have a cocktail to tell you about from Anthony DeSario. It is called Beetlemania. It is so easy and delicious.
Live Beetles.
Yes, and to get you in the mood, it is the hottest scene in Connecticut, our Food Schmooze Martini Competition. Ooh. We have applied to the Guinness Book of World Records. We have registered in hopes of being declared largest martini competition in the world. So here's what happens at this event. Statewide bartenders shake up these innovative martinis. You vote for the Food Schmooze Martini Champion, designated driver discount, great top chef noshes at all these food stations. The DJ sizzles, let me tell you, so bring your dance shoes. It sells out every time. Thursday, June 25th at 6 p.m., Simsbury's Riverview. People rent limos. They have designated drivers. They take taxis. All the inns and hotels sell out. $60 tickets to benefit WNPR. All you have to do is go to ctmartini.org. And if you want to compete, professional bartenders, you go there too and sign up. Talk to Lolly, and she will get you registered. This is going to be a very big deal. So that's ctmartini.org. And we cannot, all of us will be there. We cannot wait to see you there. Dress is casual or anything you want it to be. You talk about a good place to meet people.
Yeah, this is fun.
Isn't it just a riot?
Fun.
It is a riot. One martini station was showing, this is Plan B, they were showing these noir films
Black
and this old projector, and
that
they had
cool.
Roses made out of bacon. It was unbelievable.
Every year there's a
that
surprise.
We,
yeah,
we ate them. It was unbelievable. Okay, so let's get to Anthony's cocktail. This is Anthony DeSario, our contributor. And this one is called Beetlemania. What do you think is involved in this?
I don't have anything.
This is so easy to make.
Purple?
It's crazy. You're onto something.
Something purple.
The word is beet in Beetlemania.
Beetlemania.
So Anthony knows
Beetlemania.
So yep. Anthony knows that I'm into these vegetable and fruit-based natural cocktails.
Okay.
I think for people who might experience several cocktails that these are friendlier to the body and how they process, blah, 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 all this stuff. But in any case, they have to taste great. And he is so good at this. So he's created Beetlemania, 100% agave tequila, sweet vermouth, just a touch of balsamic vinegar, beet juice. You get that in the produce section at the supermarket or health food store. And a touch of Aperol, which is that Italian liqueur that we love, bright orange. All you do is dump all of it into an ice-filled glass and stir, and you are done. And
nice.
It is amazing, this color, and it is fabulous as a cocktail. It balances everything. He's really good at this.
And I do like a good tequila cocktail, especially when it's getting warmer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's on our website right now, foodschmooze.org. See, you can be a cocktail maker, too, before you come to that competition. Hey, did I say at the competition, you know, you're given a ballot and you vote for the champion of the Food Schmooze competition.
People always ask me how the winners decided. I'm like, the people that actually come in, the guests come in, fill out the ballots, and they vote.
We're going to have tablet stations, and the voting is going to go that way. So we're not
really?
Going to stand in the kitchen
and count them up. But that was so much fun.
That's like the best.
I know. This is going to be good, though. It's going to be fantastic.
Very cool.
Wow,
the cocktail
really
competition goes high tech.
Hey, can I say one more cocktail thing? I think you're going to be interested. You know how a lot of the cocktails call for simple syrup?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's just combining water and sugar, and you heat it, and the sugar melts, mm-hmm. and you put it in a container, and you can use it for your iced tea, iced coffee.
Which great. I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or you can sweeten up a strawberry compote for strawberry shortcake, whatever you want to do. Great. Okay. Some people consider that a lot of work. So there is a company mm-hmm. that has started making simple syrup in a package, like a little ketchup or mustard package.
Wow. So you can just put it individual in your purse. Serving.
Really?
So if you go nice. Into a restaurant and they don't have simple syrup yeah. and you've ordered iced tea, you just yeah. say, excuse me. Just remember we used to pull out all those saccharin things.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a company yeah. making it. So I think it's $15 or so for about 200 packets. So you're all set for the summer.
You know what my bartenders are doing now, I noticed, when they need it in a pinch?
Foodschmooze.org, by the way. Sorry.
Is agave nectar and water. Because then you don't have to...
Why do you need the water?
To thin it down so it's not too sweet. But that makes the quickest simple syrup, and you don't have to heat it up. You don't have to melt the sugar because the agave nectar is a liquid.
Yeah.
So you just mix those two things together till you get the right sweetness that you like, and boom, done.
I want the packs.
Lori's like the easy thing.
That happens a lot when you go out for iced tea in the summertime. Yeah. It's either unsweetened, which I don't want, or they give you the sugar, and it all ends up in a big clump at the bottom of the iced tea.
Yeah, okay. I'm all set. So Memorial Day is on the way.
Yay.
It is the official start of the season, you know, the outdoor season. So some people think of dividing Memorial Day between staying in and having people over or, you know, grilling mm-hmm. and also going somewhere as part of that 3-day weekend. So I have a thought for you that is kind of a beautiful scene. Mm-hmm. You want to, if you can, go to a place, if it's not rain, on the water with a great view. So, two of you, Lori and Jonathan, what are you doing?
I want to stay home. I'm going to light the grill on Sunday morning, and I'm not going to turn the grill off till Monday night. It's piped now through natural
what
gas.
At Saturday?
At what no, point do you call
well,
the fire
I work
department?
On Saturday, but I'm off on Sunday, Monday, and the restaurant's closed on
Saturday
Monday. So
is cleaning
I actually
the
have
grill day.
I have 2 days off in a row, and I am literally going to cook outside the entire time. One day I'm going to do a paella because I have actually one of those paella makers, mm-hmm. which is basically a burner, right? And then I'm going to do paella. And then the next day we're going to grill everything from vegetables to fish to steaks.
Okay. And Lori, what's
I'm
going to
eat all of that.
She's going to stand by the grill.
And we're going to have a tent over us if
it rains.
That's right.
So for those who want to go out, I saw that Doug Clement, our buddy at Connecticut Magazine online, was saying one of the beautiful views. So this is about getting near the water if you can, whether it's a lake or the sound or the ocean. And he was talking about Fresh Salt, which is the name of the restaurant at Saybrook Point Inn in Saybrook, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
And it does have really spectacular water views.
Amazing views.
Yeah.
So, and you can go for a walk out onto their docks and stuff.
Yeah, and see all those great boats. Yeah. And yeah. Online, I've got a notice of this restaurant I went to in New York City that is so dazzlingly good. I just was so blown away that I went there 2 days in a row for lunch, Saturday and Sunday. It's in the West Village on Grove Street. It's called Via Carota. This is online at foodschmooze.org right now, where I go through the entire menu we have. Let me say that these two people, Jody Williams and her partner, are doing the most spectacular food with the freshest ingredients. I had a lemon risotto that was stunning.
That
I had it
so
2 days
good.
In a row, and 50 other things. I mean, I just kept ordering vegetables that are so incredible because of the care they take in the recipe, the care they take in everything. Very casual. You don't think you're in Italy, you are in Italy.
New place?
I think it's probably about 6 months old or so.
Cool.
It's phenomenal cooking. Just fabulous. So we have that to tell you about. That's at foodschmooze.org right now. And here's a great wine value. This is Castelluccio, and they make a Sangiovese, which is a grape that is beautiful. And this is a terrific wine, around $13, $15 a bottle. We'll tell you what to say at your wine store. Castelluccio, Castelluccio. It's all there at the website. So call ahead. If it's not on the shelf, then you say to them that Winebow is the distributor. But it's at foodschmooze.org if you want to look look it up, around $15. This is from the Romagna region of Italy, and it is so good, the Sangiovese. Let me say that it is a soft red, but it has backbone. Mm-hmm. And so we all think this would be great with all grilled things, grilled seafood, sure. grilled
pork, steak.
Really terrific.
Eggplant.
Oh, yes.
Grilled eggplant and grilled tomatoes.
Grilled pizza. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, grilled swordfish.
I'm thinking Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah,
yeah, seriously.
Right?
Seriously.
And it has a nice acidity, too, I like, right? It's not fruit. It's got a little bit of fruitiness, but it's got that good structure.
And you know what? When it tastes like real wine, that's something that's not manipulated. This is real wine. This is really good for this price point. I just can't believe it. Yeah, very, very nice. Castelluccio, and you're asking for the Sangiovese, which is the grape, and it has a beautiful kind of softness to it. It's from Modigliana, by the way. I'm sure I'm slaughtering that name, but it's 100% Sangiovese.
I like the label, too. It's got a real clean look, and it looks like summer to me. Right? It's a good wine to begin the season with.
So good with pasta, red sauces, meats, and cheeses. And I say grilled fish because we had it with grilled fish. We had it with what we're going to be talking about next, the real paleo diet, not the little confined one that people have been morphing this into, but the real expansive one with very protein-centric, but lots of vegetables, fruits in here. Really fabulous. It's real food. And Chris made us, from the book, this tuna burger that is just fabulous from this book. It's one of the most exciting paleo books I've ever seen yet. And it's the real thing. It's the man who's been in paleo, talking about paleo for 23 years or something like that. Dr. Lauren Cordain, so stay with us for that. We're devoting extra time to that. Hey, got an idea for you for Memorial Day, if you don't have anything chosen yet. Giada De Laurentiis, who's one of my favorite people on the Food Network, on television and in the magazine, she has a steak salad. I call it the easy breezy steak salad because it's so easy to do. That is just terrific. Of course, it is a lesser amount of steak than a big slab. So and you've got vegetables, and she's got a variety of greens in here, arugula and endive and romaine. Just a sprinkling of gorgonzola cheese to go with the steak, a red wine vinaigrette. The steak, you get one steak, and then you slice it up. The red wine vinaigrette has red wine vinegar, lemon juice, a touch of honey, salt, freshly ground black pepper, and olive oil.
Yum.
And, you know, you get that sprinkling of the cheese on there with the slices of steak and a lot of lettuce. And that is a very body-friendly thing, but it has that unctuous, delicious quality to it. So this is a good Memorial Day thing to
add
do.
Add that to the list on the two-day grill-a-thon. we'll have that for a mid-course.
So that is
somewhere between 3 and 5.
That's at our website right now, foodschmooze.org. Easy breezy steak salad from Giada De Laurentiis. Also, I'm sorry, one of the most gorgeous people ever on the planet.
She must not eat all that stuff she makes.
Yeah, and she's tiny, right?
Very tiny. But her face, I stare at her face and I think, look what nature did to you. How amazing. No, really. Yeah. It's one of these great gifts. Classical, gorgeous beauty, amazing. And she just seems like a nice person. I'm sorry. And she's very good at food.
Yes, agreed. And simple, right?
Yeah.
That's the one thing all her recipes have in common. They're very simple
and
flavorful.
Real food, right, Chris?
Yeah, very much
so. You know, I have to hand it to Cooks Illustrated because, you know, and a lot of times they will do these tips of things. And somebody wrote into them, I just thought this was the best tip. I need a cookbook stand. I think it's too bad I don't have one because I'm using, you know, shoes or something that's heavy. This is a stand-in cookbook stand. This woman just takes a bowl, a large bowl, and opens the cookbook, and it stays open because it is spread so wide in the large bowl. It just
sits
there.
Also, like a really big mixing bowl or a salad bowl, and you just sort of put it in the bowl.
I have a tip. You can take a rectangular Pyrex casserole dish and put it down flat on top of the cookbook, and that way you are protecting your cookbook.
And it's a magnifying
glass. And you can look,
and you can look right through the glass yeah. and still
nice,
see Lori. The recipe.
Yeah. Really nice. And if you feel like it's still, the pages aren't, I just have those two little metal clips from my office that I use. So anyway, stand-in cookbook stand. It's a great thing, especially coming into vacation season for a lot of people. And, you know, you're not thinking I'm bringing my cookbook stand when you go to some little cottage somewhere or you're going for the weekend. So just grab a bowl and the thing opens if you're going to do some cooking on vacation.
Yeah, I like it.
Or your iPad stand.
Yeah, a lot of people now, right? A lot of people now are doing that, right?
Your iPad cover,
iPad stand. Kitchens have gone electronic.
Okay, I have become crazy about duck eggs, but especially from this farm. Chris brought these to me from this farm, and they are so delicious. They are the brightest orange I've ever seen. They are so good. I can't believe it. The shells are like iron,
by
the way.
They are, aren't they? You have to double crack them.
God, they're so incredible, these duck eggs.
Ducks.
Where are they from?
Young's Farm in Granby, and they do the best duck eggs on the planet.
I'm really now a fan of, and they're just like wild ducks, right? They just eat all around the farm.
Yeah, they're ducks. They're just running loose, and they are good.
So incredible.
Yeah. Again,
Young's
just to try something different, right?
But try them at your local farm.
Yeah.
Duck eggs.
Wherever they have duck eggs, try them.
Delicious. It's like a more, I wouldn't say eggs to the max, but it tastes like a real egg.
Yeah, full.
It has a full flavor. The color is spectacular. The yolk sits up at attention. Rich. That's the thing. That's the best way to put it, Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Don't forget to go online to get the podcast of the Food Schmooze so you can listen anytime you want. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry, the real paleo diet. Next, more mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back. With the gang, this is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. To join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. Oh, I've been looking forward to this. We're going to talk now with Dr. Lauren Cordain. He is a world authority on paleo eating, which is high protein eating in the way that our ancestors did. But it really has more to do, rather than that kind of kitschy idea, it has more to do with unprocessed food being friendlier in the body. This cookbook is, and you're going to be surprised at how these recipes were created, but this cookbook is filled with some of the most exciting paleo recipes that I have yet seen. And I am a kind of paleo eater, and so I pay attention to all these cookbooks, so I'm excited about this. It's called The Real Paleo Diet Cookbook. So, Lauren Cordain, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Hey, Faith. It's my pleasure to be on your show.
Our pleasure, too. So, Chris Pressberry made your tuna burger, and we just ate this burger. It is so good. Chris, tell us how quickly this came together, because it has a paleo mayo, which means it's a mayo without sugar. And we'll let Lauren say why this is paleo.
And I'm not a paleo either, right? And I go to these recipes kind of skeptically, but this was really good.
Hey, we have fruit and vegetables in this cookbook.
I would say this was just a really good tuna burger.
Yeah, I would too.
Right?
Yeah, and it has a crispiness to it, because it has this flaxseed meal on the outside that gets coated, and so it gives it the tuna, which would be soft in texture, and if you want, can be that kind of medium rare in the center, but also has the grit, the texture of an actual beef burger. So that is fascinating to me. Came together so quickly,
right,
Chris?
And it's just got tuna, which you chop up and then put in a food processor.
But a fresh tuna filet or frozen.
Or frozen. If frozen, just thawed. And then
not out of a can.
Not the cooked stuff, the raw stuff. And you just basically chop it and then put it in a food processor and pulse it to just get it to break down a little bit, but not too much. So you just got to keep an eye on it. You still want it kind of chunky. And then it gets a lightly beaten egg white and then ground
to
hold things together and then ground golden flaxseed, which was pretty neat. I guess, and that's the binder instead of using breadcrumb. And it adds, like you said, this kind of texture to it. Right?
We're going to find out why these ingredients are important.
And then it gets some tarragon, fresh chives, the peel of lemon. And then you basically take this – you make this into a patty. It's 1 pound and you break it into four patties. And then you reserve some of that flaxseed meal. And after you make the patties, you sort of coat it on both sides. And then you bring up
like a breadcrumb.
Yeah, like a breadcrumb. And then you just bring up some oil to medium-high heat, sear it on both sides for about 6 to 8 minutes.
So good.
Yeah, and then it gets served with this great mayonnaise, which is a paleo mayonnaise that they give you the recipe for. But it's a very standard
– but the salad dressing just blew me away.
A roasted garlic vinaigrette, and it's just the vinaigrette's really cool. It's just lemon juice, roasted garlic, and some oregano, some Greek oregano, and then you basically mix those things together with some olive oil, and you make this very simple dressing. But it's really good, and the garlic breaks down, so it becomes the dressing almost becomes like creamy. Right? Through that roasted garlic.
So I want to come back. You're going to hear some exciting recipes as we go through this portion of the show. And we've allotted extra time for this segment, more than we usually do, because these are exciting recipes no matter how you eat. They certainly have vegetables. They have very high in protein. This is not processed food, so very friendly to the body, according to some, including my guest, especially my guest, Lauren Cordain. Dr. Cordain, you're one of the leading people in terms of the paleo diet, all the research you have done. Why is this not a kitschy thing, a marketing thing about how our quote-unquote ancestors ate? What does this all mean?
You know, I've been involved in this idea for almost 20 years, and so I coined the term the paleo diet with my first book in 2002 and have been doing research on the topic ever since. And so this really isn't a fad per se. What this is, it's a lifetime program of eating to help you reduce the risk of chronic disease and improve your health. And along with it, we've got some very talented people that helped me to produce this book that was just released in March.
So this is a very unusual kind of group effort for a cookbook. So 12, about a dozen people who are professional chefs, trained professionals, did the recipes for this cookbook. And that's an unusual concept.
I actually wrote all the introductions to the various chapters. So you'll see my handwriting in the book.
Yeah, and you vetted the recipes, which is really of real interest to me. So what's the deal for people who don't know what the paleo diet is really all about? Why are you so into this?
Well, like I said, what it is, it's not a diet per se. It's a lifelong program of eating to help reduce the risk of chronic disease. And the idea behind it is to eat the food groups that our ancestors ate. Clearly, we cannot eat the exact foods that our hunter-gatherer ancestors ate, but we can certainly emulate the food groups they ate with foods you can get at the supermarket. So that's the idea, is to eat living, real, healthy foods and to avoid processed foods. And when we do that, our bodies like it, and the food is delicious.
What's the proof that our bodies like it?
70% of the calories in the typical U.S. diet come from four foods, and you can pile them in front of your table: refined sugars, refined grains, refined vegetable oils, and dairy products. So if you think about it, that's pretty gross. 70% of the calories that you eat from the time you're weaned until you die come from those four foods. Now, we mix them together as processed foods. We can call it crackers, cookies, bread, cakes, pizza, ice cream. You can call them whatever you want. But when we replace those four foods with fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, seafood, fish, eggs, we do much better. And so that is the idea. And as you can see from tasting these recipes, is that people respond to real foods. And we don't need to have sugar and salt and vegetable oils and cereals to make our diet healthy. And so that's the entire idea, is to get rid of those foods and replace them with foods that you get in the outside aisles of the supermarket.
Lauren, I forgot to say, I should have identified you as your professor emeritus in the Health and Exercise Science Department at Colorado State University. I know you lecture around the world about this kind of process-free eatings. Let's go to some of these recipes, because I'm very excited about these. I grew up, I'm Scotch, and I grew up with a thing called Scotch eggs, which really are eggs that have a crispy coating on the outside, sometimes a sausage underneath that crispy exterior, and then the hard-boiled egg itself. And so your way of doing this is a dried cherry sage Scotch egg. Tell me how this is paleo.
Well, if you look at the ingredients here, you won't find any salt, you won't find any refined sugar, and what you will find is pork, sage, marjoram, black pepper, nutmeg, cloves, almond flour, which kind of gives it a crispy outer coating.
And is a protein-based flour.
Sage, marjoram, and olive oil, and also some Dijon mustard that we have made paleo style.
The dried cherries in this recipe are no sugar added. There's a little bit of residual sugar, as there is in fruit, in these dried cherries.
Yeah, there's not any problem with the dried fruit. So throughout the recipes, we utilize a variety of fresh fruits and spices that are compliant with the whole paleo idea.
One of the tricky things for people who eat a protein-centric, I don't mean excluding vegetables and fruits, but protein-centric, which is at the heart of paleo eating, sort of struggle with breakfast a bit. And certainly granola is normally, it was a little tricky because there's a lot of sugar in certain things you would turn to. And you have an orange ginger paleo granola, which consists of fresh orange juice, fresh squeezed orange juice, some fresh ginger that you slice very thin, some green, just a teaspoon of these green tea leaves, unrefined coconut oil, raw almonds, there are nuts permissible, of course, macadamia nuts, pistachio, some unsweetened coconut chips, which you can get all over the place, dried apricots, dried figs, raisins, and almond milk or coconut milk, whichever you prefer. You get to have all of that on this paleo eating plan. That's just good stuff.
Yeah, it is. The people that, as I mentioned, the dozen or so cooks and professional chefs, they took basically what I had stipulated in what foods are and are not paleo. And they came together in an incredibly creative manner to make these types of foods that you really wouldn't know that you're eating paleo. What you would say is that this is good stuff.
Hey, Lauren Cordain, tell me how you know what our paleo ancestors ate. Well, what records are there of this?
Well, you know, I think it's probably more important to recognize, as I mentioned from the very beginning, we know what they didn't eat. Okay, so the processed foods that comprise 70% of our calories, refined sugars, refined grains, refined vegetable oils, and dairy products, you mix it together and you can call it a cookie, a donut, a cake, chocolate chip, whatever you want to call it. They didn't eat that. And what does it leave us? It leaves us with fresh, living, real foods, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, meat, seafood, eggs. Mm. That's really the idea behind it. And we don't know precisely what they ate, but we know precisely what they didn't eat. And what it allows us, tremendous variety in our food. So when you eliminate these four refined food products and you start eating real foods, you can see that recipes that we include here are a cornucopia of virtually every food that foodies would love. So this orange ginger paleo granola, as you mentioned, my God, look, we've got 12, 15 different ingredients. And that's the idea behind it, is to include these flavorful, real living foods.
How does our body deal with it differently, I guess is my question, because I don't eat paleo, but I do notice that when I eat what we had for lunch today, I do notice a difference in how I feel.
Well, you know, I don't want to get into a whole lot of technical medical terms, but one of the factors is that when you eat refined grains and refined sugars, they have what is called a high glycemic index, meaning that they spike your blood sugar. And when your blood sugar spikes, it raises insulin and it raises other hormones. And so when you get out of this cycle of spiking your blood sugar from breakfast to dinner to snacks, it normalizes your blood sugar. And when that happens, your energy levels tend to normalize over the course of the day. So I think that most people can feel this effect rapidly within a couple of days or less when you start eating paleo.
Hmm.
Protein is a great stabilizer of blood sugar. It also tends to increase satiety so that you don't eat as much. And when you don't eat as much, you feel better.
Yeah. Here's a recipe for chorizo stuffed jalapeno poppers. I love jalapeno poppers. So if you're someone who can't tolerate that heat that's in a jalapeno, you can also go to sweet peppers and do the same thing. But these are stuffed with chili powder and granulated garlic that's preservative-free, ground cumin, dried oregano, ground coriander, black pepper, ground cinnamon, ground cloves, ground pork, a little bit of red wine vinegar, jalapeno chilies. You make a cashew cream, and there's a recipe here for that. Fresh cilantro, one of my favorite things, but you can substitute parsley if you want. And lime peel or lime zest. And all that comes together and gets stuffed into these jalapenos. And absolutely, just a terrific flavor profile.
It's delicious.
This is Lauren Cordain, who's Professor Emeritus in the Health and Exercise Science Department at Colorado State University, lectures around the world about the paleo diet, so-called, I would say. This is about protein-centric eating and eating real food. That's really it. And we've made it into the way our ancestors ate, and which is a good definition, but really it's about not eating processed foods.
It's healthy eating, isn't it?
Well, as we define it at the moment, it's healthy eating. And, you know, we know that diabetics have had to watch their carbs for a long, long time since we've known about diabetes. And so they were eating this way, if they were smart, for a long time. Yeah. However, to get pleasure, you want to go toward a processed foods when you can't have as much sugar. And that's a tricky thing for diabetics. And so here was this paleo diet sitting here all this time. There's a Vietnamese-style rare beef salad. And this starts with simmering the beef in real pineapple juice and mixing it then with lime. That process, of course, very gently cooks or poaches the meat. You're poaching the meat in lime and pineapple juice.
Yum.
And then there's a salad with chopped cashews that are toasted and sesame seeds, fresh cilantro sprigs. And there's Thai basil in here, or regular basil if you can't get it. And then this macadamia dressing. I mean, this is really satisfying.
So sugars are okay if they're natural sugars, right? Because pineapple juice has natural sugar in it.
Well, what do you say, Lauren?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our ancestors would have consumed fresh fruit anytime they could find it. And so we include fresh fruit and mix it together with a variety of other ingredients, this particular Vietnamese rare beef salad, you can see there's red onions, white onions, scallions, cilantro, fresh mint, and a macadamia dressing. So the salad itself consists of iceberg lettuce, chopped cashews, and so just a huge variety of ingredients that come together actually fairly easily. And we have a preparation time for the whole thing. And you can see that most of these recipes can come together in less than, you know, 10 to 20 minutes or so.
So this is the Real Paleo Diet Cookbook that we're featuring on the show. And we have that tuna burger that we were crazy about posted on our website and information about this book at foodschmooze.org.
But see, when I cook, I always look for our tastes, right? That sweet. It is one of our tastes. And finding processed sugars is usually the easiest way to get that into the food. But I guess by just using natural fruit or raisins or something like that instead of a processed sugar, you get the same results. You get that sweet flavor in your mouth without actually using a sugar.
There's a balsamic Dijon sirloin with a garlicky spinach. And I want to jump to the bison burger with Cabernet onions and arugula. And I'm jumping to bison because I eat a fair amount of buffalo. And you too, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I love
it. It's delicious.
Yeah, and it's very lean.
Very lean. Yeah. So, you know, with high-fat meats, you have to be careful. This just has to be more occasional. And it's not the amount of fat necessarily. It's that if you can possibly eat grass-fed and grass-finished beef, much better for the body and causes less inflammation and that kind of thing. But in the end, here on the Food Schmooze, we're interested in, we think, moderation for everybody. And we think we're interested in flavor and also. And so I like the flavor of bison or buffalo.
It has a little gaminess to it that I like. Yes, not a lot.
But just a whisper.
Right? A little more oomph than regular beef.
Yeah, and low in fat. So it's terrific. So I like this Cabernet onion idea.
Yeah, this is a great recipe. This is one that my wife and I do. We, here in Colorado, we buy our bison by the side, so we can go out.
You actually get fresh.
you can get it much, much cheaper than you can at Whole Foods. So if you're used to buying, grass-produced beef or bison or lamb or what have you, if you buy it in bulk directly from the producer, you can get it at very reasonable prices.
Now, if you're in Italy and there's a porchetta-style pork roast on the menu, run to that thing, okay, because it is so good. So this is usually a boneless suckling pig, and it's stuffed with garlic and fennel and pepper and these herbs like sage and rosemary. Then they put it on a spit, and it's roasted over wood, and it's heavily salted. So you've taken this, or your team has taken this and made it into a paleo version, reduced the salt or disappeared the salt, I should say. And so this has the fennel and the peppercorns and crushed red pepper and garlic and orange peel and fresh sage, olive oil, white wine, and a little bit of chicken bone broth. You tell us how to make that, just boiling up some chicken bones so that it's pure and not lots of chemicals, so you're eating fresh. That is a great thing to have. Let me turn to, because I just don't want to run out of time, as we talk to Lauren Cordain. He's author of The Real Paleo Diet Cookbook. This is unlike, here's what's happening, Lauren, as I see this going around, that paleo has become a little extreme. And so there's a weightlifting crowd that is removing almost all vegetables, all dairy, all sources of sugar, including fruit. And so people are basically, some people are eating hunks of meat and maybe, you know, like three vegetables on that short list because they're interested in bulking up in muscle and okay, fine. But I think because you've been in paleo for more than 20 years, maybe you could speak to that. You've got a wider breadth of ingredients here.
Yeah, you know, and it's like you guys have really done justice with descriptions of these 20 or so recipes that you know, are examples of what we're eating. And as I mentioned earlier, is that I doubt that anybody would even know that they're eating paleo. They're eating good food. And you're right, paleo has splintered. It's become kind of a Medusa head of a concept that, you know, anytime people get involved in these things, they kind of try to tailor it to their own needs. And so that was really the basis for the Real Paleo Diet, is to get back to the basics of what paleo is and it isn't.
Ah, good for you.
It doesn't have salt. It doesn't have refined sugars. And it doesn't have dairy.
But
and
it does have fruit.
That's what you're going to get. You're going to get delicious, fully paleo recipes throughout. And as you and your co hosts have suggested, these things taste good.
And I want to tell you, there's chocolate in here. We're going to have a talk to you about a chocolate dessert coming up. And so it's very good for you. Well, so roasted chicken hindquarters. So we mean thighs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're on the roasted chicken hindquarters with vodka, carrot, and tomato sauce.
Yeah, so that's good.
That is vodka?
Yeah.
Someone's eyes just popped open.
They didn't, you know, they didn't have the ability to make alcohol, but if you cook with it, it's no big deal because you guys know that the alcohol vaporizes. So we also have what's called an 85-15 rule, meaning that it's what you do 85% of the time that is going to improve your health. What you do 15% of the time doesn't seem to have adverse effects. So we live in the 21st century, and we allow people to do a little bit of cheating, and that's what the 85-15 rule allows for.
Like,
if you want to have a glass of red wine with your meal, do it.
I like that.
This.
Yeah. I'm happy you are not a fundamentalist. Okay, so we are with Lauren Cordain, and he is author of The Real Paleo Diet. And we're going to take a short break. Please support your local food growers and food makers. And you can find the food, wine, recipes, cocktails we feature online anytime, and cookbooks at foodschmooze.org, including right now. Please stay with us.
You say potato, I say patata. You say tomato, I say Creole tomato. Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Beans and cornbread had a fight.
Beans
knocked cornbread out of sight.
Beans.
Cornbread said, now that's all right.
Beans.
Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'll be ready.
I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. Thanks to our producers, Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. Chris Prosperi, senior contributor on the show and chef owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Thanks to Marion Roy and Eugene Amatruda and our Hartford contributor, Alex Province, who's away on the show, reporting on the road. All right, we have Lauren Cordain with us, and he is author of The Real Paleo Diet Cookbook. He has been into paleo and is probably, I would consider, the godfather of the paleo, the real paleo eating way, which is not as quite as confining as it has come to be in some circles in his world. This is processed-free food. Sugars are natural from fresh fruit and dried fruit, but very protein-centered, but there are certainly tons of vegetables in here. We have a chili marinated chicken with mango melon salad. So you hear what I mean about fruit appearing. Turkish chicken wraps. This is a Turkish combination of dried apricots and figs and unrefined coconut oil. These chicken breasts and sliced leeks and peppers and a seasoning mixture and tomatoes and cucumber and fresh mint, fresh parsley. And this all gets sauteed and chopped up and goes into these lettuce cups. And you just, you know, it's all cooked in a little bit of olive oil. And you just eat one
Funny.
After another and feel not guilty at all because it's real food. We talked about our tuna patties. There is a crunchy curry cauliflower. which I love, in terms of olive oil and lemon juice and shallots and curry powder, cumin seeds, fresh cilantro. And you can use pumpkin seeds or sliced almonds that you toast, and golden raisins. You want to bring something to a potluck that everyone will love. This is one of the dishes. So I want to say to you, Lauren, before you run away, I had to get to the dish that has chocolate in it. These are chocolate-covered apple chips. Chocolate loaded with sugar is obviously not a paleo ingredient.
But no, it's not, but you certainly can consume chocolate.
Yeah, but tell us how that is. So you're talking about from raw cacao, which you can get in all the health food stores now, and I buy it and eat it. It's delicious.
That's right, and I think what you'll find is that I travel to Europe frequently, and the best restaurants in Europe use fresh ingredients. That's the key to making delicious recipes, and that's what paleo is about. It's about fresh ingredients. And you're right, it's, even though we try to have fish and meat and eggs and what have you at most meals, there's a plethora of fresh fruits and veggies, and so that's really what makes this such a delicious way of eating.
So you want to get unsweetened chocolate. Scharfenberger makes one. There are a ton of companies that make these. I buy, it's more expensive, but I buy a raw cacao chocolate bar from, you know, somewhere in some jungle. But it is absolutely, it has, you know, I think there's 1 gram of sugar. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It is so delicious. I have to try to drag myself away from this. So here what you're doing on a low temperature in the oven is slicing apple very, very thin and baking it at low temperature for a couple of hours, which takes all the moisture out of it and crisps up the apple. And then you heat your chocolate without sugar and a little bit of coconut oil until it's smooth. And then, of course, you drizzle it on these crispy pieces of chocolate and then sprinkle it with nuts. It could be chopped walnuts or pecans that are toasted ahead of time, which really brings out their flavor, and that is just
that
a terrific dessert.
And you know what, Faith? It's good for you, too.
Yeah, it's
so
very good for you.
I feel guilty about eating it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. Very quick question. You work with athletes because you're professor emeritus of exercise science at Colorado State University. We hear that athletes must ingest lots of carbs for energy. So what do they do? I mean, is it because they don't have to mind? Are they in your world? Are they hurting their bodies? Well, how do you think about it?
We don't restrict carbohydrates in the paleo diet. You can eat all the carbs you want. The idea is the carbs come from fresh fruits and veggies. There are world-class athletes, LeBron James and others that you may know of, that do paleo, and they do just fine. They perform at world-class levels.
So in the health world, we'd had a cardiologist on from UConn Health recently talking about inflammation as a major concern, and that beef will cause inflammation, too much protein will cause inflammation. How do you think about that?
Well, I don't know which cardiologists you spoke with, but we have cardiologists that I write scientific papers with, and I would counter that and say that to the contrary is that protein actually reduces inflammation. You know, I don't want to get in a shouting match with your cardiologist, but the people that are on our scientific team, and I'm a scientist at a Division I research institution, we write the papers that physicians and cardiologists read. We do the bench work. So,
yeah, our guest does too. And so I'm pointing out that there's a lot of, everybody's got an opinion on this stuff. And, you know, as time goes on, we'll get clearer and clearer. That's often the way it goes with science. So thank you so much, Lauren Cordain. These recipes are exciting, and I really appreciate having you on the show explaining paleo in the real way. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
The Real Paleo Diet Cookbook. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We are online anytime. Find the recipes, food, products, restaurants, cookbooks, value wines, easy cocktails we feature right now or anytime. Foodschmooze.org. Thanks to the thousands of you who are chatting with us at that site. Foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
bodies when they come to mind.